Okay, so I was running a workshop last weekend in a railway arch, and I wanted people to respond to that space. And like here, there's trains going overhead. You hear the trains overhead. It's a real working railway arch in Glasgow. And I asked the people taking part to find a brick that they liked in the wall and to really spend some time with that brick and then to talk to the brick. And it was the talking that really got me. Once they started talking to the brick, it became very engaging and moving. So some were talking to their grandparents. They were, the brick became more than a brick. So that was one of my strands. Another one is that I made a video for performance 30 years ago that I'm writing about at the moment. And in that, I spend a long time with the floor, and I destruct the floor, dismantle the floor. And I'm writing at the moment about the relationship with a block of parquet floor. What was it like to really be part of the floor? So this was sort of some of my questions. So I kind of felt like the relationship between me and the object was really enmeshed.
How did you jump from destructing, dismantling the floor to being part of the floor? Because you broke it, you own it?
Well, it wasn't any old floor. They were blocks. They were parquet, you know, solid wooden blocks. And once you started to lift it, it's like the floor had a personality. Not so far from what you were talking about. I started to, in the writing of this many years later, I'm starting to think of those, each of those blocks of parquet flooring is different because it's solid wood. Each one is completely unique.
Were you in that space at that time? Were you in that space for a period of time? Yeah, I think I know the work you're talking about. Yeah, I'm interested in this notion of spending time with something, and then if you like that projection onto the object of the experience of being with it. Because for me, you're talking about being with it. Is that right?
Yes.
Being, sorry?
Being with.
Yeah, being with.
Kind of. So there's you and the object in a presence, so it's as if your being withness is part of what's coming out. Which I'm also hearing about the bricks and asking people to spend time with something in that very intense way that we don't normally do.
No, I think in that instance, people wouldn't have even noticed the bricks.
No.
If I hadn't said, and they were big, they were the subsize. So it's like, well, we live with things around us all the time. How much do we really engage?
I was very intrigued by your slides of the gymnastic, the guy that was doing this kind of incredible gymnastic and in a way being the object. Okay, so I was attracted by your question about the idea of actually removing any physical object outside your own body and performing. You know, so this idea of performing an object.
When I heard this, I thought of the reverse. It's losing your person and you become the object. So if I'm in a waiting room next to the water cooler, I first of all become one of many, and then as I become nervous, I lose my own personality. And then I become a number, and then I'm just an automaton moving into a room. So that point when I have, before I become a number and I become part of the chairs, nobody knows me. I've lost my personality. I'm not part of the chair, I'm an object on the chair. And in reverse, I was thinking of a photograph. And when I look back and see photos of the past, I'm not looking at myself, I'm looking at everything around it, and it's everything within it that makes the picture of that moment captured. So there is no distinction between person and it's a memory. It could turn into an animation in my head. It could do anything. but I wouldn't say I'm the person, I've become one of the objects.
It's more like you melt with the object.
It's a voyeurism in a way, a reflection. And equally, I can look at something in that flower that I remember happening at that point, and it's as alive, and it is its nature. But I could look also at the table and remember the table fondly and remember what it feels like and remember where it was at that time of day and how it changed and more things were put on it. So it's not for me that it's true I am object as in I am camera, but it is near two. And they're very different. One's lost a personality and another one's a memory.
Memory. There are a swathe of territories that we kind of skate over, some of which are very familiar to me and are very political, and others like time, spending time, and actually interacting with that Lockean thing of, you know, you own it if you pick it up because you've done that work. But the main shift that I would look at is about 30 years ago. With the rise of a new investigation of identity, certainly around a black, emerging black British aesthetic, increasingly people focused on the body, a re-examination of the body as black, for example, let alone its relationship to kind of the same parallel movement happening within gender and performative identity. But what I was living, and the reason I never really went for that, was a society that objectified me. I was a kind of black body in the society, and that's how I was being treated. So it's intensely political for me. But I realised that sort of there is this thing. As I said to my dentist the other day, I'm in psychological retreat from my body. It's falling apart. My teeth are falling out. I've got lots of gum disease. And she said, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. But my body's a thing. My body is an object. It might still be living, but it's a thing. And that kind of complex, fraught relationship between my body is me and my body is a thing is imbricated in what you're saying, but in ways, different ways than you mean.
We merged two groups, me an object and idea an object.
Yeah.
We've been looking for the most uncomfortable.
Is that us?
Well, relative to downstairs, it is. There's only one other group downstairs, seemingly. One of them's very small.
And that seems to be a very different discussion from co-presence, which in the context of theatre is, let's say, puppetry, is that here you are the puppeteer on the stage and you are also present with whatever the puppet is, and that there is a kind of an equal kind of an equality of co-presence there, which seems to me kind of interesting. And then again this, these sets of propositions around kind of so I'd like to know what we were going to talk about. And would we not forget the politics?
I'm sure we won't.
Well, I think there is...
Can I just respond to your comment about being objectified as a black body? Has that changed over the 30 years since? No. Do you think it's changed for people of a younger generation?
I mean, you always hope it's going to change, don't you?
Me too.
Yeah. But I think it's time, actually. I mean, they say for various reasons, I've been a long time involved with Germany, and they think, well, this next generation of people who are going to move away from that branding on their foreheads. And the two generations I've seen, and two generations hasn't quite worked.
Hasn't quite got there.
And I kind of say, well, in the Bible it says the fifth generation, iniquity, the sins of the fathers, unto the fifth. And calculating generations 20 years, that's 100 years. So that's the counter proposition I'd put in terms of time, and how long it takes to change things, just in the experience of this text, which we've stepped away from.
Yeah, I think the reason why I put idea and object and is For me, the issue how in the arts there has been a lot of discussion about immaterial labor, so in, you know, the dematerialization of art and basically, you know, not producing objects but going towards performance or, you know, kind of more in kind of strategic kind of way of occupying art space. And yes, so. And my question is, what is the relationship? Because in this discussion on immaterial labor and cognitive capitalism, it's clear that what is capitalized is the idea. So what really you make money through is the idea, not the object that you produce to the, you know. So that is the issue. Yeah?
What? Which
depends on what you mean,
the idea.
Have you made money off of
that? Oh, yes, a lot of money.
But if you have ideas about interesting performances, those might not necessarily make that money. But if you have ideas about an object that can be sold, that can make money. So it's not strictly true, it might be. It's also the nature of the idea.
Yeah.
Not the idea per se.
Yeah,
I've got some ideas that are good ideas and creative and make nice artwork, but it's whether or not you can marketize.
Yes. What's the distinction between an idea and object anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
Ideas were objects.
Yeah, this is what I'm trying to understand, because this is the key, I think, point. Yeah. What is the difference between an idea and an object?
I don't really see a big difference.
It's not different.
Because you can hold an idea in the same way that you could have, or you could have a trivial object, but it's not worthy of memory or experience.
Yeah.
So it's the experience in many cases of the idea or the object. So it's actually, my object is probably different, my idea is different from yours, because my experience will be different. And that objectification. I had a tremendous experience of that growing up in the 50s in Nottingham Gates, in reverse. And then it was, you know, Rackham, it was White Teddy Boys, it was horrendous. But you knew your position through your tribe of clothing. And you very quickly knew which tribe of clothing. And in a way, there are so many tribes that are so quick and it's so easy to watch performance. By the time you finish sort of shooting, tweeting and whatever it is, you're moment. It's moved on. Or are you always on the same one? It goes again and again and again, and it's like a series of mirrors. So it goes back to the time of
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's. I think the definition here, that's one of the things I was trying to find out when I came. Because I knew I was supposed to be the other side where you have a thing. And I don't work at the end point with things, ever. Other people want to make a thing. But it's that lovely fertile thing. Is this working?
The fertility, the creativity, and the multivalency of the idea as an object is something that allows the object to escape the kind of the constraints of capital.
Yeah.
And that's why kind of there was this move anyway to conceptual art, to try and escape the market and think outside of it. The fact that the market will flow into the idea as an object and attempt to kind of reposition it within a market is another thing. And so the position, the experience that actually there can always be an escape.
You can always, sorry,
be an escape in time. Things will change so quickly. And particularly if you hold hand-on ideas. So an idea changes by being possessed by many, changed by many.
Yeah.
Many different ways. This was for many artists, as I was growing up, considered the goal. That is what you want. For it to multiply in other people and change in other people. And that was not so much possession, but a kind of collaborative creativity. Talk about the name of this centre. There's still a hangover of that thinking.
Yes, he did, just with this distinction between ideas, kind of false distinction between ideas and objects.
Okay, I can't hear you, sorry, it's noisy here. It's very noisy. Do you mind to come closer?
Talking about capitalism and its relationship to object idea. There's the great realization, isn't there, that with post-Fordism, neoliberalism, is that this is where they realize that, in fact, the production of ideas has a better kind of profit margin than the production of objects, material objects. And this is what we're all caught in now, isn't it?
Yeah, service industries.
Service.
Post-Fordist economies, where we perform, we're always at work, producing ideas.
Yeah.
And it seems like, well, isn't that free? But in fact, we're always at work. So there's a constraint. So that, you know, on the one hand, the idea as object is interesting, exciting. On the other hand, it's also incredibly constraining when, you know, it becomes a form of new form of capital.
And I'm seeing that from the era of the time of presentation of process and system and fear is an object. And one of the most amazing objects last year was in fact a home.
A home?
And what?
A home. H-O-E.
Home.
And it was fantastic. And it will change lives. Absolutely brilliant.
So who designed the home?
It was his name's Mohammed, and he's last year's innovation design engineering graduate. It's a double MA, masters and MSc, and he knew why he was doing it, who it's for, and it was he knew the forms.
I'd like to know how it transforms lives. I'd love to know.
It's really good. But he started with a system. And then felt he could do it.
So the return to the object.
Why was this closed? Material.
Yeah. Material object, excuse me.
It was because it could make it. Design allowed you to be not hurt your back and work five times as quickly. And as in Pakistan, the most difficult thing is actually making earth okay. The biggest expense for farmers is to get people in to help at that point. With what people are doing to cross their backs and then the equivalent of change an existing home through adding this thing to it and bringing stuff to them, and then he was selling in the home to Western world, and the money was going to back into the system to give away free home. So everything about it was so simple, so logical, but it's the brilliance of the design of the home, the object.
But there was a good idea in there as well.
Well, that's what I think, the performance.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the object, it was
combination.
The
whole combination.
It was both. Yeah. I couldn't have said, it wasn't, that's my whole thing, it wasn't.
It was a kind of dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a belief in the this sounds ridiculous, but I think it was.
Yeah.
And that's the conviction of that. An artist, as opposed to.
I think that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, but what I'm seeing is reverse. I'm seeing artists becoming salesmen or businesses. And it's the whole thing about starting all that kind of stuff. So, again, it's the idea and the object. The object has to be there as part of the
idea. So,
wow.
What was the other question that was so close?
We started with being an object, and then we shifted to the idea of an object. So maybe we have to go back to the idea of being an object. I don't know. Or maybe we have to introduce new.
I planned out on I commute. I always pretended I don't, but I do. And I know that there's part of the journey where I actually use it, and I can't work my working day without my journey, because I use my train journey to put makeup on, eat my Marmite sandwich, and do emails. And in that 45 minutes, I've actually come to life. And if you saw the person at the beginning, they're very different. So I, it's like a But I have got to the point where I'm not.
Sounds a bit like an electric
explosion.
His computer blew up.
He blew it up.
Oh my goodness.
Oh.
Is it smoking?
I think you're right. Not anymore.
Did you blow up the power supply?
Oh my god, that was quite.
I've never seen that. I've never seen that computer do that before.
No. This is the power of your speech.
What's going on with
optics? It's great.
So what are you saying then about that transformation?
I love it.
This lack of inhibition, this has occurred over time, has allowed me to have a feeling no one can see.
Now we need a new.
I'm in my space. I have to sit with the pull down tray. I have to sit on the edge. So my bag's there to dip in another top. And no one knows me. No one sees
basically,
me. Yeah. No, I am anonymous.
You become invisible, isn't it?
But you said, when
I'm in that
day, when you introduced, when you were talking, you said that you walk large. But you are now saying that actually, this is this performance of makeup.
Yeah, of course it is.
Actually, it's the thing that brings you to life.
The red lips and hair and mascara helps me always have.
But then why did you talk about your black dress as camouflage?
Well, no, I was saying I'm fat, so therefore black makes me feel more comfortable.
You're animating the mask.
Yeah.
The camouflage.
I think what you're talking about is becoming invisible.
It's becoming visible?
No.
Yeah,
because
the lips
no,
are
it's
becoming visible.
If she's not...
It's receding. But that's really straightforward. It's more distinct space and your relationship with that particular space for that particular amount of time. And I become object. I become the chair extension, the table extension, my bag extension. And then I return to real life.
Maybe there's a notion of overlooking then.
Times can you and miss where you're going as you're thinking? You're no longer the
all
person.
The time.
Yeah. So I feel that I'm easily automaton. I worked on car design and had to tell them after they commissioned me that I'd never learned to drive. And because I daydream, I don't want to drive. So, and their result was, you're an eccentric, we have one in oil, because that's fun. And my argument was going to be, but I worked on the design of surgeon's equipment, and I'm not a surgeon, so it's of no relevance. I don't exist. It does, which goes back to the idea of the object meshing together.
No, but I wonder, you know, because you naturalize this process, you feel totally confident in doing makeup and assume and doing your thing.
Well, it's just over the years I've realized, I look back and see that I do it. I don't think, oh, I'm going to. It's just, if you watch your own behaviors, you know, how many people go and get a newspaper to become part of the toilet? They know what they're going to sit down for an amount of time. They become as one because they perform with this shape that sucks down poo. Crap, depending on who you are. So it's quite. Objects, are, as in products, are designed to have an ergonomic, to have a function or whatever, to perform with person. When you were talking about the floor, that's a very different thing because that is aesthetic, emotional, responsive. Which is missing.
I mean, there was an element to the project you were describing in which that was an interment. You were being coffined, you were digging into the ground. You were becoming the inanimate body surrounded appropriately up by the which you dug down. But we stopped.